How a bill becomes a law is a subject we all learned once, maybe from teachers, maybe from Schoolhouse Rock, maybe from your parents. But missing from that lesson was probably the role that federal agencies play. Chris Walker is a law professor at The Ohio State University. He has written a report to the Administrative Conference of the United States on the subject, and he joins us now via Skype with more. Hi, Chris.
Hi, great to be here.
So, first of all, why did you do this research in this area of the role federal agencies play in making laws?
So, the Administrative Conference of the United States wanted to get a better sense of what role do federal agencies play. And, you know, and I guess there are kind of two ways. The obvious is if federal agencies and the president are proposing substantive legislation to Congress, and that's not what we were interested in. We were interested in more the back channels. What do federal agencies do when Congress asks for help? And so we focused on the idea of, you know, almost every piece of legislation that's introduced or enacted actually goes to the agency long before it gets to Congress. Congressional staffers want to get the expert feedback of the agency to make sure that the bill makes sense, that it's technically correct, that it doesn't mess up the current law. And so there's this back channel, pretty confidential approach where agencies are providing some pretty detailed feedback on draft legislation.
And that's far from what we see from the public. We see the oversight hearings, the public letters demanding information from agencies. And so that goes contrary to what you're saying about the agencies working all along with the lawmakers. They might not like the legislation, but they'll at least say, okay, this is something that we could actually implement. Is that right?
Yeah, that was one of the things I found surprising, although people inside agencies know this, and this, most of them it's not a surprise at all, but like they respond to virtually every request that they get, even if the legislation is really not good for the agency. And it's interesting, you know, it's the relationship that federal agencies have with Congress that they're trying to preserve. But I just find it kind of fascinating. I mean, one of the, you know, we did like dozens and dozens of interviews, and one of the agency officials remarks that, like, unless they're drafting legislation to shut down my agency, we're going to, short of that, we're going to try to help them to make the bill as technically correct as possible.
Do agencies have an obligation to do this?
No, there's no, you know, constitutional or statutory obligation. I mean, it drives more of the fact that they're, you know, Congress is the one that's authorizing their actions and passing legislation, and they're also ones that bring oversight hearings. It was interesting, a number of the agency officials mentioned that whenever there's an oversight hearing scheduled, there's a big push within the agency to make sure they get back all their comments on all the draft legislation. And I think that's kind of what's more driving it. I mean, obviously, it's also just trying to make sure that whatever's working through the process is as technically correct as possible.
Yeah, so that's give me an example, because we might not think automatically. What sort of advice or consultation are you talking about when you talk about agencies advising lawmakers in this situation?
Yeah, so the Office of Management and Budget has a circular that prohibits agencies from providing an official view of the agency or the department on pending legislation without going through OMB first, without getting executive approval first. And, you know, it's a coordination factor. So agencies know that when Congress approaches them to provide technical feedback, that they're not taking an official position on the substance of the law. Instead, they're letting the congressional requester know, you know, this is how this proposed legislation is going to affect other parts of our statute that we administer. This is how, you know, did you realize that this is going to cause this? And so oftentimes you'll see it almost just like a Microsoft Word red line, right? They provide both a red line of the proposed legislation to suggest what things should be taken out or changed, but they also sometimes provide a red line of existing law to show, hey, did you realize that when you change this, it's going to mess up all these other things? And so
we're speaking with Chris Walker. He's a law professor at The Ohio State University. How uniform is this type of consultation across government?
So, I mean, it's uniform in the sense that everyone, all the agencies do it. They have very different structures. In the report that's on the ACUS website, the final report, which is posted on Monday, there are like 50 pages of appendices, each one going through 10 different agencies to demonstrate how they differ. Some agencies locate their power for this within the general counsel's office. Other agencies locate it within the political branch, the legislative affairs or congressional affairs branch of the agency. And so they differ in structure, and there's not a formalized process across agencies. It really has developed more informally.
Were you able to measure the effectiveness of that? Were some agencies, because of their setup, more effective than others?
Not really. I mean, we weren't able to measure that. It's difficult. You know, these requests are usually treated as highly confidential. You know, congressional requesters want to have space to make mistakes and to get candid feedback. And so, I mean, while I confidentially reviewed dozens, if not hundreds, of these technical assistance requests, we didn't set up a formal metric to try to measure how effective they are.
Well, okay. So that, take into account, still, do you see room for improvement in what agencies are doing?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, again, this week we have our draft recommendation that the committee has sent off to the conference, the Ministry of Conference of the United States, that makes about 8 different recommendations to how they can improve things. And for instance, one of the challenges that agencies have had is that with the rise of substantive provisions in the appropriations legislation, so legislation that's traditionally viewed as just deciding where the money goes at the agency, it now includes a fair amount of substantive provisions that change the agency's mandate. And so one thing that's difficult about that is that type of legislation usually goes through a different process in Congress and at the agency. And so historically, it has not gotten the type of technical review that it perhaps needs. And so a number of agencies have come up with novel approaches to address that issue of making sure that those substantive provisions, appropriations, it's a fast-moving world where changes happen quickly. And so they've tried, agencies have struggled, most have tried and implemented some pretty good practices to make sure that it's still getting technically reviewed and doesn't mess up the agency's, current statutory scheme.
So what's one of those stealth tactics?
Well, I mean, so sometimes, at the Department of Commerce, they have a weekly meeting between the budget folks, the general counsel over legislation, or the assistant general counsel over legislation, and the legislative affairs director. Others, they actually have one person within the general counsel's office that is just charged with tracking all appropriations legislation. And when there's anything out there, they send it out to the contact list of anyone who may be interested to make sure that the substantive parts are technically correct. And so there are a number of ways in which agencies have responded to that.
And when it comes to drafting the language in bills, is there any way that those of us on the outside can tell, now that we know what you've told us, that we can tell, this has that agency's mark on it?
Yeah, no, I think it's difficult.
Oh, no.
because this isn't a public process. This is oftentimes before the bill is even introduced, and sometimes before even a member of Congress has even seen it, right? You've got a staffer on a committee or personal staff that are drafting up this legislation, and they want to run it by the agency, sometimes before they even run it by their boss. It's really hard to see, whose fingers prints or what. And I don't want to make that seem too nefarious. I mean, lobbyists are drafting legislation, other interest groups are drafting legislation, and ultimately there's a Democratic vote on it at the end. But it is it's really quite difficult at the beginning to figure out who drafted what and what the agency's role was in shaping the legislation.
Well, very interesting indeed. Chris Walker is a law professor at The Ohio State University. Chris, thank you.
Great.